The unsaved, they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account. But it's going to be an account of all the sins they ever committed, and it's going to be an account of them rejecting Christ as their Savior. I thank God tonight. Although I'm standing before God ashamed, but I thank God tonight that I stand before Him to give an account of what He's given me to work with. The things He's told me to do, I haven't done. The things He's pointed me in the direction, I said, oh, no, not me, Lord. You really don't want me doing that. When I wouldn't do the things He's called me to do or the things He's set before me to do, but I'm never going to have to give an account for my sins. He covered those sins on Calvary. He covered my past sins, my present sin, and any sin I'm going to commit in the future. He's covered that. His blood covered that. I don't have an account for it. And I thank God for that. So, Romans tells us we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So see, we're going to, every one of us, no matter if you're lost, if you're saved, we're going to stand before God, we're going to bow before Him, and we're going to confess to Him. So, you know, I had a preacher once tell me, you can either do it now or you can either do it then. But if you do it now, then you don't have to do it then. If you confess your sins now and you ask Him to forgive you and you ask Him to save you, on judgment day, you don't have to stand before Him and ask Him to forgive you of those sins. He's already done that. And so when I look at that verse 12, and it says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. When we stand before God, how ashamed are we going to be? When we stand before Him and He says, you know, Brother Bobby, I gave you this to do, and you did it. I led you in this direction, and you didn't go. I gave you the opportunity to witness to Him, and you failed to do that. We got to give an account of that, folks. The Bible doesn't lie. You know, I heard on the radio this morning, coming to church, that he was a preacher. And he says, I believe every word that's written in that Bible, from the first word, which is in, to the last word, which is amen. I believe everything in between. I believe everything in between. I don't understand a lot of it, but no man will ever understand all of it in heaven. But I believe it. If it says I begot this, I believe it. You know. Do what? Oh, that's them, that's not me. But you know, I believe it. And so when the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die and after death is the judgment, I believe that. I believe we're going to stand before God. I believe we're going to give an account for ourselves. But over in the book of Romans, when we're talking about giving an account, how we're going to stand before God, over in the book of Romans, the second chapter, the 11th verse says, and I'm just reading half that verse there. It says, for God
are for. There is no respect of person with God. So it doesn't make no difference how lost you are, how big of a sinner you are, how many times you've rejected God, or you're the best thing since sliced bread. You're the best thing in the church can be. There's no respect of a person. God loves you just as much as he loves me, just as much as he loves that sinner, just as much as he loves that preacher. God loves us all. He loved us so much that he sent his only son to Calvary. You know, I don't know too many times I've ever stood in a pulpit and hadn't talked about Jesus going to Calvary and what he endured when he got there. The beating he took. Them crucifying, the nails that drove through his hands, through his feet, the spear they stuck in his side, the crown of thorns they put in his head. And it amazes me that he'd done that, and he'd done it so willingly, and he'd done it for me, he'd done it for you, he'd done it for every person. And how? You know, salvation is so free. You know, Brother Ronnie spoke of that this morning. Salvation being free. There's nothing we can do to work for that. There's nothing you can do in a church that's going to buy your salvation. There's no money. There's no gold, silver. There's nothing that can buy your salvation except for the shedding of Christ's blood. That's the only way you can have salvation, is through his blood. He paid that price, and I believe, just as well as I'm standing here today, if he had it all to do over today, he'd go as willingly, and he'd do it again, and he'd do it for us. And when we talk about, I'm going to talk just a little bit about what's in heaven, but when we talk about standing before Christ and we talk about giving an account for ourselves, let's talk about the rewards of what's going to be there. Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there be any more pain, and former things are passed. You know, when we get to heaven, we ain't got nothing to worry about. We ain't going to be sick no more. We ain't going to have no more pain. I can look around this room. I'm like Brother Ronnie was this morning. I can look around this room and I can start pointing out people that's sitting here tonight in pain. You come to church tonight because you love the Lord. If you didn't love the Lord, you'd let that pain keep you at home. You wouldn't have showed up. But you love the Lord, so you're here. And I appreciate you being here. I'm like Brother Ronnie. Y'all must not got that memo that me and him was preaching today because he showed up. But I thank you for being here. But when we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about that pain because there's not going to be none. We're not going to have no sorrow. There's not going to be none. We don't have to worry about crying. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. And all of the former things, all of the things of this earth is passed away. And behold, all things become new. The Bible tells us that. So we're going to be in heaven. We're going to look at some more things that's there. We're going to be in heaven. We're not going to be sick. We're not going to have pain. We're not going to have sorrow. We're not going to cry. I believe that we're going to go around there all day long, 24 hours a day, because the Bible tells us that there's need of the sun and the moon because he's going to be the light. So we don't have to worry about the sun coming up or the moon coming up or it raining. We don't have to worry about none of that. I believe it's going to be a pleasant, now when I say 68 degrees, some of y'all cover up. But I believe it's going to be pleasant. I believe we're going to walk down the streets of gold. I believe we're going to rejoice. We're going to praise him forever and ever and always. I believe that. And why are we going to do that? Because he first loved. He gave his son. And we accepted him as our personal Savior. We believed him. In Revelations, still in the 21st chapter, we're going to look at some of the things that still heaven that John saw. Verse 18 says, and the building of the wall, it was of jasper. So we're going to see walls of jasper. Bible still tells us that's what's there. Walls of jasper. Street of gold. Gates of pearls. Right here in the Bible. Like I said a while ago, the Bible tells us in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the lamp of it. Can you imagine that? You know, when we come into the building tonight, Brother Andy and I come through the door together. Brother Andy, when he opened that other door, he said, Bobby, he said, do you mind going over there and turning on the lights? Well, I'd never turned the lights on in this building. I said, where are they at, Brother Andy? And he told me, and I went over there, and I turned them on. Brother Andy, I promise you, the Bible says it, when we get to heaven, we ain't going to have to worry about turning on no light switch. We ain't going to have to worry about anything like that because God is light. You know, I look back on a lot of things that I've done in my lifetime. And it wasn't always trying to serve the Lord. But I praise God. The day he grabbed a hold of me and he shook me. He said, son, I've called you to do something. Now let's go do it. He promised me he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. He'd always be with me. He'd always lead me. He'd always guide me. And when Brother Ronnie talked this morning about courage, I thought, man, what kind of courage do we show the world as a Christian? What kind of life do we live? Can others see Jesus in us? You know, the word Christian means Christ-like. And we go around professing to be a Christian. But how many of us live a life that would stand up to that word, Christian? We all fall short of the glory of God. We all fail him every day. And my prayer tonight is that you wouldn't leave this building tonight without making things right with God, without making your heart right with God, without saying, all right, God, I give you full control of my life. I'll do the things you've asked me to do. I'll go the places you want me to go. I'll be the leader that you want me to be. I'll witness every opportunity that you give me. In closing, if you look in at the Genesis, and I was talking to our pastor about this the other day. Well, wait a minute. Let's back up one. In John chapter 5, verse 24, this is Jesus speaking, says, verily, verily, to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death unto life. Isn't that a great verse of scripture? And when he talks about not coming into judgment, what judgment is he talking about? Standing before him as a sinner that's never accepting as his as your personal Savior. That's the judgment he's talking about. As a Christian, we'll pass by that judgment. But as a Christian, we will stand. I was talking to our pastor about this scripture the other day, and on it, he told me, well, I'll try to say it as best as I know that he said it. I probably won't get it. But he told me that that scripture was specific to that time. But in general, it's good from throughout eternity. And the scripture goes, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and I want you to pay a close attention to this scripture, because we're going back up to the 15th verse of chapter 20. And I'm going to read that one to you again. Revelations 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, if you never accepted Christ as your Savior, our preachers preached about it. Brother Ronnie mentioned it this morning. Time is drawing nigh. We're living in the last days. We're not promised of our next breath. Every one of us could be called home before we leave this building tonight. God does not promise us a next breath. What he does promise is an eternity with him if we've accepted him as our personal Savior. And what he has promised us is that you've never accepted him as your Savior and you die, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Bible doesn't tell us how much patience God's got with us. But I believe that his patience runs thin with us. I believe that when you do something wrong and he chastises you, it's for a reason. It's because he loves you. And I believe that every person that doesn't accept him as their personal Savior, his patience runs thinner and thinner and thinner. And one day he's going to say, I've had enough. You don't want to accept me. You don't want the things I've offered you. You don't want that eternal life in heaven. Then fine, you can spend it in hell. And I believe that with all my heart. Let's all stand.